For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, everybody, Sal Capaccio here on the Highmark Stadium field following an incredible 30-27 victory by the Buffalo Bills over the Miami Dolphins. And of course, I say incredible in a lot of different ways. I mean, the Bills really struggled in this game to stop the run. They found themselves down once again. They had to claw back once again. And really, at the end of the game, the most incredible part, a 61-yarder by Tyler Bass to win the game, a field goal of 61 yards with 5 seconds left in the game, essentially a walk-off field goal for Tyler Bass and the Buffalo Bills of 61 yards. Headed towards that way, the scoreboard end. If you know anything about this stadium, as Reed Ferguson said after the game, it's very challenging to kick that way, especially in the stadium. But there really wasn't a lot of wind today at the game. But what wind there was, it's always going to be more challenging that way. And Tyler Bass, of course, through his struggles not only this year, but his struggles today. He had a missed extra point after the Bills had scored to cut the lead to, it would have been what? The Bills had taken the lead, so that would have made it 13-10, but the missed extra point made it 12-10, only in favor of the Bills. And then later, another extra point that went off the upright that same way, by the way, but in and was good. So Tyler Bass, a couple of kicks that went awry, one missed, and then, of course, at the end, straight down the center, 61-yarder from my vantage point. I haven't looked at the replay yet, to be quite honest with you. From my vantage point, that thing was good from about 65, 66. It was way up the upright. So obviously a really electric crowd and atmosphere at the end of the game. But really, this one was a struggle for the Bills throughout the day. And hey, that's to be expected with a division game. The Miami Dolphins, I thought the Bills would beat the Miami Dolphins a little bit more handily today. It wasn't the case, but give the Dolphins a lot of credit. They had a great game plan. I knew what they would want to do, and I said it on this show, but I didn't think they'd be as successful as they were. Running the ball once again, they did a really nice job. They wanted to get the ball out of Tua Tagovailoa's hands. They did that, obviously, very well as well. And when it was all said and done, the Miami Dolphins run 31 times for 149 yards against the Bills, who give up 4.8 yards a carry. Devon Achane, I mean, he is just a problem when he plays the Bills. 12 carries, 63 yards, 5.3 yards a carry. The Bills had to really do their best job to not only stop the run game and slow it down a little bit, but obviously take care of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in the passing game. And they did a great job on Waddle until the final series of the game for the Dolphins, at least when, at least before the final play, when Jalen Waddle caught his first pass and then wound up catching a touchdown. Tyreek Hill, he had, let me get the numbers here on him, 4 catches for 80 yards. Didn't score a touchdown. The Bills have always done a nice job against Tyreek Hill since he's been with the Miami Dolphins. They did a nice job there. But on the offensive side for the Bills, let's kind of run through these. I've kind of started with the defense and Tyler Bass, and we can go back to that. But let me talk about the offense, because this was a struggle once again early in the game. The Bills actually moved the ball early in the game, but they just could not finish plays. They couldn't finish drives. They had to settle for field goals. And especially when they got down late at the inside the Miami Dolphins red zone, critical penalties took away a touchdown, forced another play to go all the way back. There was a first or second and 30 at one point, but the Bills had to stick with it. Josh Allen runs the ball in. There's a touchdown that's called back, and then they had to kick a field goal. So they go to halftime down 10-6 to the Miami Dolphins and have to come out and make some changes in the second half. What changed in the second half? Well, the first thing that changed is the turnover right away. The Dolphins, they get the ball to start the second half. They march down. They actually have the ball at the Bills' 48-yard line, but then it's a fumble. Taron Johnson with really a haymaker on the ball, the peanut punch, it comes out, and Kyrie Elam is right there on the spot to make the recovery. That really kind of changed the game to start, and then the Bills get the ball via the fumble. They get out, go down, and they score. They turn that touchdown, that fumble, into 6 points. They scored 3 straight touchdowns in the second half on their 3 drives and then a field goal. So the Bills actually had the ball 4 times in the second half. Touchdown, 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 field goal. You go to the first half, punt, field goal, interception, field goal. And that interception, Keon Coleman, he's got to do a better job. He didn't catch the ball with his hands. It went off his chest plate when it goes up in the air at the 3-yard line. And of course, Jalen Ramsey comes down with it. The Bills were their own worst enemy. We say it all the time. It's tough to beat the Buffalo Bills, but you know what? You can do it when they beat themselves. And the Bills were really beating themselves in this game for most of the first half. And then, of course, in the second half, things started to go the other way. But again, the Miami Dolphins did a really nice job and stuck with it and had a chance to win at the end. I was actually surprised. I thought the Dolphins would go for two when there was how much time was left when Miami scored. Let me just get the pull up the play-by-play here. When Miami scored their touchdown to ultimately tie the game, it was with a minute and 38 left. I thought they would go for two. They're on the road. They've been running the ball very well. Maybe they come up with a run play to be able to get into the end zone and take that lead. They didn't do that. The Bills get the ball on the next drive. And boy, what a huge penalty by Jordan Poyer, obviously hitting Keon Coleman and being called for the 15-yard personal foul. That set the Bills up for a chance to ultimately get that game-winning field goal by Tyler Bass. But on that drive, let's go through the plays. Josh Allen gets sacked. There's only 58 seconds left on the next snap. You go from 138 to 58 seconds left. Then he throws a ball to Dalton Kincaid. That's incomplete. The Bills are faced with a 3rd and 14 on that final drive, a 3rd and 14. They get Miami to jump. It becomes a 3rd and 9. Then Josh has the pass to Keon Coleman. That's when Jordan Poyer hits him in the head, gets called for a roughing. Now, I will tell you, Keon Coleman not only went to the locker room, I'm guessing because they wanted to evaluate the head, he also was checked for something on his arm or wrist, because in the locker room after the game, Keon Coleman, a bunch of us in the media, saw him wearing some sort of brace on his left wrist area. This has been a really tough year for wrists for the Buffalo Bills. Christian Benford didn't play in this game with a wrist injury. Amari Cooper didn't play in this game with a wrist injury. Now Keon Coleman could be his hand, his wrist. We're not sure. There's no official word on it yet. At least when I'm talking here, you might get it by the time you listen to this, but we'll see what the status is in Coleman. Amari Cooper was already out, and we saw the effect of, again, not having separation by wide receivers in this game. When you don't have Amari Cooper out there helping guys out and, you know, creating some room, essentially. So hopefully Keon Coleman's okay. In the meantime, Tawan Smoot left with a wrist injury as well, went to the locker room. So the wrist injuries piling up, some injuries starting to pile up. Hopefully this team gets Christian Benford back next week. He didn't play, and hopefully they get Amari Cooper. We'll see about that. On that final drive, though, after that play, Josh Allen again, incomplete to Dawson Knox. That creates a 2nd and 10. Josh goes to Mac Hollins, who made two critical grabs on this drive. That one for 7 yards, and then the Bills call timeout, and the next one for 4 yards to get the first down. The Bills spike the ball to stop the clock. Then they want to set themselves up for a field goal. Now, there's only 21 seconds left. The Bills don't have any timeouts. They have to, obviously, they could go to the middle of the field on 2nd down, but you can't really on 3rd down, because on 3rd down, if you go to the middle of the field and it's complete even, you're going to have to spike the ball. You can't spike it on 4th down. So that's why Josh Allen tries to throw to Dalton Kincaid. I think he actually threw that one away is what he did. And then they set themselves up and knew, hey, we're going to try a 61-yarder. Now let's think about this for a second. If Tyler Bass misses the 61-yarder, the Dolphins get the ball at the Bills 49-yard line, because it would have been on their side of the field. They would have got the ball there with, it would have been 5 seconds left. That would have set them up for a possible Hail Mary or one shot to the sidelines and then another play. Obviously, Tyler Bass steps up and he booms it through the uprights. A few big plays in this game as well we got to get to. I think the turning point in this game might have been the touchdown by Ray Davis. So Ray Davis catches a short pass from Josh Allen and just takes it to the house after that, breaks a tackle. He's able to stay on his feet, 63 yards. Longest pass play of the year for the Bills, I believe it was. It's definitely a touchdown, longest play touchdown, 63 yards for the Bills from Josh Allen to Ray Davis. That's what put them in front 20-13.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big plays in this game on both sides of the ball. There were some big runs by the Dolphins. One of the things I jotted down was a check after the game. I'll look at the game book now as I talk to you here. How many big plays the Miami Dolphins had running the ball? Let's see, a 32-yarder. That was a short pass middle and to Raheem Mostert, and that was included in the penalty. A 28-yarder, Tyreek Hill was a pass. 27-yarder was a pass. Let's go to some of the runs. A 16-yard run here. Okay, I guess they had a bunch of 8, 9, 10-yard runs, maybe one or two that went over 10, but it just seemed like they were getting them in chunks in this game against the Bills. Josh Allen's day would have been a lot better without the drop from Keon Coleman. I thought Josh played a fine game. I don't think Josh played a bad game, whatever, in any respect. The numbers were good. they weren't unbelievable, but they were very good. And he threw three touchdown passes again. Josh Allen, 25 of 39, I believe that's 64%. Three touchdown passes. He did throw the one interception, his second interception of the year. On the other side, how about Tua Tagovailoa? 25 of 28. But out of those 25 completions, most of them short passes, runs after catch by the tight ends, by the, mostly the running backs. Devon Achane led the Dolphins. This is what teams are doing against the Bills, folks. Running back Devon Achane, 8 catches, 58 yards. Tight end Jonnu Smith, 5 catches, 46 yards. They were their leading pass catchers from a reception standpoint. Tyreek Hill did have 80 yards to lead them in all of their, you know, receiving yardage totals. But then Raheem Mostert, 2 catches for 32 yards. You add that up. What is that? 58 plus 32. That's 80. That's 90 right there. A tight end added in there. I mean, close to 140 yards in receptions, essentially, give or take, by running backs and tight ends for the Miami Dolphins against the Bills. That's what teams are doing to the Bills, and that's what teams are going to continue to do to the Buffalo Bills going forward as they, you know, every game, it seems like teams are finding that's the path because they don't want the Bills' defensive line to hurt them, to get off on a pass rush. The Bills have a good pass rush. Doesn't create all the sacks all the time. Today, Von Miller return. I have to check the stats on, you know, what he had as far as the game book, as far as his total tackles. It didn't seem like he made a super big impact, but look, the Bills defensive line didn't have a chance to make much of an impact today getting after Tua. The philosophy of the Dolphins was get rid of the ball as soon as possible with Tua and run the ball. And that's what they did. So going forward, the Bills now 7-2 after 9 games, more than half the season down. Teams are going to run the ball against the Bills. And you have some teams down the road, like next week against the Indianapolis Colts, Jonathan Taylor. They're going to run the ball against the Buffalo Bills. That's what they're going to try to do. And, you know, maybe Flacco's not going to be Tua Tagovailoa right now where they're getting the ball out as quickly as possible. But I guarantee you that's going to be a formula that teams are going to try to replicate against the Bills going forward. Let me see if I can just kind of go through some of the things that happened in this game before I leave you on this edition of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. By the way, thanks a lot for listening. I know I'm kind of talking fast here, trying to get out of here. Got Matt Bove. He's always doing the road games by himself. And I told him, hey, you know what? I'll do this one today. I'll go on the field. I'll bang something out for the fans who want to hear about this game because you're so excited. I know you can't wait to get all the content about the Buffalo Bills after a game like this. So that's why just got me today, Sal Capaccio here. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Of course, subscribe, listen on iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're always right there. And of course, at the Sal Sports YouTube page. A little more than 100 people to go to get the 10,000 subscribers we've been after for a while here. Let's get to the third down numbers. The Bills, 4 of 8. I'm sorry, the Dolphins, 4 of 8 on third down, 50%. The Bills, 5 of 10, also 50%. So a nice job. Want a little bit better maybe on third down defense for the Buffalo Bills, but overall, I guess you take it kind of a wash in that regard. Red zone offense and defense for the Bills. Red zone for the Dolphins, 4 times. The Bills gave up 3 touchdowns. And that's not something you want to see, and especially when you go the other way. And the Bills had it 5 times inside the Miami Dolphins red zone, only came away with 2 touchdowns. That goes back to those critical penalties. That goes back to the dropped touchdown, what would have been a touchdown by Keon Coleman. Defensively for the Bills, Dorian Williams leads the way with 12 total tackles. Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp each have 10 total tackles. The Bills really didn't put too much pressure on Tua. Like I said, the one time he dropped the snap, Greg Rousseau gets credit for that sack as he gets into the backfield and he's able to get the sack there. Even quarterback hurries, only 2 for the Bills in this one overall. Kyrie Elam, he got beat by Tyreek Hill, no doubt, double move. But overall, solid game because, you know, they didn't really, he didn't give up any other big play. That was the one. And he had the fumble recovery, actually, which was big for him. Injury-wise, Taron Johnson did get looked at. He went back in the game. Casey Tuhill did get looked at. He went back in the game. But we're going to monitor Keon Coleman throughout the week. We're going to monitor Dwan Smoot throughout the week. And, of course, the guys that missed today's game, as I said, Christian Benford, Amari Cooper. Those are big losses for the Bills right now. So we'll see where that goes. And as far as Tyler Bass, look, I mean, 61-yarder is amazing. And I just don't think it corrects everything right now that you think he's just great to go for the rest of the year. But certainly that could propel him, and you hope it is, for his confidence as it goes throughout the year. But I still think you have to be on watch for, hey, you know, you still want the consistency from him. Because even though today he hit that 61-yarder to win the game, he also missed the extra point. He had one go off the upright, an extra point as well. So it's still something you want to monitor going forward. Penalties in this game. On the radio broadcast, Eric Wood said he could not believe they called the penalty on Deion Dawkins and then the penalty on Osiris Torrance right after that nullified the Josh Allen touchdown, 2 in a row right there. I haven't seen them yet, but those are things you don't want to necessarily blame officials, but Eric Wood on the radio broadcast said they weren't very good penalties that were called. Also, Taylor Rapp had a penalty called against him for lowering his head. I thought he was the one that had the head lowered on him. Raheem Mostert, I believe, was the running back who came through the hole right there. So a lot to digest from this one, right? It was a wild game. What a great atmosphere. November weather in Buffalo is not supposed to feel like this. You could see it still. It's absolutely gorgeous out here on the field at Highmark Stadium. We had, what, maybe close to 60 degrees. Sun was shining. Not a lot of wind. It was a really, really nice day here at Highmark Stadium. And now next week, the Bills go on the road to take on the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills sit at 7-2 on the season. Let me just take a look at the standings here. They should be updated. Yes, they are. The Bills currently hold officially the second seed in the AFC. That's because Kansas City is still undefeated. They play Monday night. Buffalo 7-2, and Pittsburgh has yet to play. They're 6-2. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they haven't yet played. They have a bye this week, so they're 6-2. They're 4-1 in the conference. The Bills are 5-2 in the conference. Right now, the Bills have a half-game lead because they played that extra game. Houston at 6-3. Obviously, they're the head-to-head against the Bills, but Buffalo has the better record at 7-2. And as far as the division is concerned, I mean, we're getting there, folks. We're getting close to maybe clinching time. I don't know the exact math. Someone out there can probably do it, but Bills at 7-2. The Jets at 3-6. The Dolphins fall to 2-6 after this game today. The New England Patriots fall to 2-7 after their loss 20-17 to the Tennessee Titans today. So a lot of talk is going to be about the injuries this week leading into Indianapolis. A lot more is going to be talked about as well as Joe Flacco taking over Anthony Richardson. As I talk to you now, the Colts play against the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, so we don't know the result of that. We'll be monitoring that game as well. Okay, for Matt Bove, who's still in the locker room listening to Sean McDermott, I'm Sal Capaccio. Thanks for tuning into It's Always Game Day in Buffalo once again. Download, subscribe on audio. Check us out on video at the Sal Sports YouTube channel, and we'll be back later this week with a lot more as the Bills head to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. As you can tell, I got to get out of here now.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.